Invite you now to open your Bible and let's read with me from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35 to 58. Let's read. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body. Not all flesh is the same. People have one kind of flesh. Animals have another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another, and star differs from star in its splendor. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, but it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, but it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural. And after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, and the second man is of heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is a heavenly man, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will all be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So far our reading. I know there's a lot of people here in Riverbank, and I think it's fair to say Tasmanians wide, that they have a genuine love of camping. As a family, we too, we love to get away to the quiet campsite. And I admit, I'm a little bit of a camping snob. I don't particularly like the caravan parks where we're all in this little square, but I'd much rather be a little bit off the beaten track where I've got lots of space. I love that perfect, surreal spot where nobody else is. Prefer to be off-road where there's no services and no phone range. And what's true about every camping trip? I'd love to say that it's the hashtag perfect photos on social media. I'd love to say that we always catch lots of fish. I'd love to say we never run out of water or firewood. I'd love to say that we always have awesome family times where no one's bickering, no one's complaining, there's no tears. I'd love to say we never have car or camper trouble, but I can't say that, as these things sometimes do happen. But the one truth about every camping trip is it does come to an end. The tents, the camper, it does get packed up, and we do have to come back home to reality. And in a sense, this is a bit what our earthly life is like. We are only camping here. This is not our permanent home. Paul writes about this elsewhere, and this is Paul who was a tent builder. He says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1 to 3, and he says, "For we know that if our earthly tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not made by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling." Right now, we are all living in this tent. And the reality is, unless Jesus comes back soon, for most of us, we will face an earthly death. The tent will be pulled down. But is this the end? I have a builder friend in WA who we used to do a lot of work with. And he was not a Christian, and we would have a lot of conversations on sites. And one day I asked him the question, "What do you think is going to happen to you when you die?" And he says to me, "I'll become fertilizer for a plant and I'll help that grow." And the worst bit was, he was perfectly okay with this. He was a surfer. He loved to fish. He had his boat with a six-wheel trailer. He was a gold member of his AFL team. Pity it was Fremantle. He had a big place overlooking the water, and he really was living his best life. And this is true for so many people who do not confess Christ as their Saviour. For an unbeliever, they are living their best life right now. But for a Christian, we have hope and a guarantee of what is to come. This afternoon, we'll be exploring this further as we wrap up our series looking at the articles of the Apostles' Creed. We'll do this by looking closely at our passage from 1 Corinthians 15, and I'll be drawing on a few key verses through this rather than going through verse by verse. And as we consider what it means when we say, "I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting," I've titled the sermon, "I Believe in a Perfect, Eternal Resurrection Body." And Paul uses the analogy of a seed and planting as he goes through this text. There's three key growing elements which I'd like to draw out this evening. Firstly, we'll focus on a dying seed. This is verses 35 to 41. I have to say, I'm not too much of a green thumb, but I do enjoy the fruits of gardening. In New Zealand, we had quite an elaborate vegetable garden. We had greenhouses, and we had lots of water on timers. And we ate a lot of what we grew. It was actually quite fun. We'd plant the seeds, would help them to grow, and then we'd harvest the veggies. I'd say all except the weeding, that wasn't much fun. And Paul uses this analogy as he looks to answer the question that the Corinthians were struggling with. And they asked that question in verse 35, "How are the dead raised? With what body will they come?" This question sounds quite familiar, doesn't it? I think I've been part of many conversations in youth groups or in our growth groups or even just in passing when we ask the question, "What am I going to look like in eternity? Will I have the body of a 10-year-old? Will I have the body of a 30-year-old? Will I be 80 years old? Will I have blue eyes? Will I recognize my wife or my family as individuals?" But then read what Paul's rebuke is in verse 36. This probably hurts a little bit as we read this. He says, "How foolish. Stop asking irrelevant questions. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies." A seed that comes from a plant must first die before it's put into the ground. If the seed is going to germinate, it must first die. This is very prevalent in our Australian bush culture too. There's so many seeds and pods that just require a bushfire to go through before they're able to germinate. Our bodies, like a seed, will die. And this earthly death is a doorway into our eternal, perfect bodies. And then Paul goes on to describe how God has given so many different bodies to different living beings. To each seed, he's given its own body. To each animal. To each fish. To each bird. He's even given bodies to things that are not alive. Things like stars, the moon, the planets. And the point is here, God is not limited in what he can create. God can take material from here, he can reorganize it, and he can use it to suit his greater purpose. He has created before, and he can create again. We do not know exactly what we will look like. All the intricacies of the individual details. But God knows. And he will do it. Previously in our series, we have looked at the benefits of Christ's resurrection and the comfort that that brings. We've confessed that Christ's resurrection has really conquered death. And death is not something we need to fear. In fact, death is just merely by which we pass from this life to a life lived forever with him. You may be here this afternoon, you may be thinking that your earthly death is actually not that far away. This could be that you're entering an elderly age and you're feeling the effects of a decaying body. You could be a lot younger, but maybe you've had a near-death experience. Or maybe you've experienced the death of a close friend in an accident. You may be a parent and have had to stand at the grave of a child. Or you may be a parent who has experienced the death of a child inside the womb. And what Paul is saying here, that the seed must die, it brings grief and sadness. I don't want to downplay the heartbreak and the pain felt by loved ones, for this is very real. But friends, hear the comfort this evening that this earthly body is not the final story for you. This is why we grieve with hearts that long for those we have lost, but we grieve with hope. For those whom Christ came to this earth for, the resurrection guarantees a new body. And we confess we will see them again when Christ comes back to take us to eternity. And while we don't know exactly all the details of what this new body will look like, Paul comforts with the words of verse 42 to 44. He says, "So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, but it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, but it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, but it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, but it is raised a spiritual body." The resurrection guarantees a body that is free from pain, it is free from tears, and it is free from death. Our tents have been taken down, but we are promised a mansion. This is the second element of growth that we will look at. This is a transformed seed. We're looking particularly at verses 42 to 49. And while we do not know exactly what the details of our new bodies will look like, there is more to say about what this body will be. We are told it will be a much better body. Now look, I think most of you know that I'm a bit of a car guy. And most of you know that I enjoy my Australian-made Holdens. And my first cars, they were not worth a whole lot of money. And it's probably fair to say you do get a bit what you paid for. Some of my early Kingswoods had windows that didn't wind down. They had windscreen wipers that didn't move. Which shakes in the steering wheel. Had vibrations at different speeds. Leaking gearboxes, blown engines, look, you name it. And our resurrection body, It's a bit like driving an early 2000s VT Commodore that's got the sagging headline, we've got the sagging suspension, we've got the knocking engine, and then we get to go down to the car yard and trade this in. And we pick up a late model, a low kilometres, top of the range HSV that's brand new every single day. And while our bodies are created in the image of God, they are also reaping the pains of sin. We get to replace our tired, maybe our disease-riddled, maybe it's painful, but it's a limited body with one that will be imperishable. It will be glorious. It will be raised in power, and it will be raised a spiritual body. What does this mean? Does this mean a spiritual body that will be all soul? Read with me verse 44 to verse 49. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first Adam became a living being, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man is of heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the heavenly man, so are those who are of heaven. Just as we've been born the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. We turn also to Philippians 3, verse 21. And speaking about our Lord, he says, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies to become like his glorious body. Our bodies will be transformed to be like Christ. We confess we have a risen Saviour. He's ascended into heaven and he's sitting at the Father's right hand. But currently we are like Adam, a natural man. We're limited by our own sin, but we will become like Christ's body. Supernatural and limited by nothing. Right now, our natural bodies break down. The beauty fades, but the new body will not be like that. It will be a perfect body. Not perfect as the world thinks. Tall, athletic, tanned, smooth-skinned, probably a mullet. No, our new bodies will be perfect and will be made to serve and to glorify God. This is ultimately what we've been created to do. And our new perfect bodies will live to the complete glory of the Creator. We will be renewed in body, in mind, and in spirit. We will live in a redeemed body, a heavenly body, a restored body that reflects the spiritual renewal found in Christ. The grave is the destination of your bodies when you leave this earth. Unless Christ comes back soon, all of us here will go there. But if he does come back, some of us may not die. But we will all be changed. In the twinkling of an eye, we will all be changed. The graves will give up the bodies, and all the bodies will be transformed into be lasting and imperishable. Our I Believe series has been focusing on the questions and answers that have been found in the Catechism. For those of you who may be new here, this is a document that summarizes the spiritual truths that we believe in. And the Catechism asks, how does this resurrection of the body comfort you? And it answers, not only shall my soul after this life immediately be taken up to Christ my head, but also this my flesh, raised by the power of Christ, shall be reunited with my soul and made like Christ's glorious body. What a glorious hope to look forward to. But what is the point? This is the final element of growth that we will look at this afternoon. We will see a glorious seed. Many of you know that us young people, We have a bit of a different language that we communicate with. We tend to shorten words. We tend to shorten sentences. Sometimes our sentences get shortened to just the first letter of each word. And you may have heard the acronym YOLO, which means you only live once. This is an encouragement to just really enjoy life and just to live it for the now. And for people like my builder friend, this is true. They have no hope. They live by this motto, YOLO. But for those of us who are in Christ, this body and this life, it's not the only body in the life that you will have. There is hope and there is comfort beyond the grave. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Paul finishes off this passage by drawing us to where this victory lies, where our transformation to a perfect body comes from. Let's read verse 57 again. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our victory, it's in Christ and in Christ alone. He is the one who transforms. He is the one who has conquered death. He is the one in heaven in the body of a man. He is the one who will burst graves wide open. He will bring the new life and He will welcome you into His glorious kingdom. We have a Savior who has conquered death. He conquered it on the third day after His own death. Why was Good Friday good? Because Sunday was coming. He walked out of the grave and the grave could not hold Him down. He's the one described in Philippians 2 as being found in the appearance of a man. He humbled Himself by being obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He ascended in a human body and He is ruling the heavens and the earth. This same Savior who bore your sins, who came to this earth for the complete reason to wash you clean. All the sin of your earthly body is nailed to the cross. Your seed, your tent with all its imperfections is put to death, only to be transformed by the gruesome death of a Savior, that when He appears, you will be renewed to an eternal life of glory. Are you struggling in a body weighed down by pain? Weighed down by a mind that has no peace? Weighed down by doubts and fears? Are you struggling to accept the death and the burial of a seed of a close loved one? Well, take comfort in a Savior that lives. A Savior that has promised to return and a Savior that has promised to transform. You may be hearing this message and not sure if this everlasting body is for you. You may be thinking that YOLO is actually the way that you've been going through life. You may be thinking, I want this eternal life, this eternal body, but there's too many things in my life that I've done. There are too many times in my life when I've turned from Him and I've given in to my sin. My tent is just too full of holes. My seed is crushed beyond repair. My past It's just too much. My dearest friends, the gospel is so beautiful. Our victory is in Christ. Our victory is not in ourselves or the things that we have done. Our victory is in the power of a Savior. Christ Jesus, our Lord, who came to this earth for the sole purpose to redeem you from your sin. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the one to redeem you before the Father, and that when I return, I will give you the everlasting, glorious body. And then I will say, this child is a child of mine. Hear the promise from 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9, where God says, my grace is sufficient for you. This is the glory of the resurrection. And finally, and Paul leaves us with this command from verse 58. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. This is the point in the sermon where I could tell you to pray more, to read more, to give more, to be closer to Jesus more. But there's no gospel in this. Remove the guilt of doing more, for you have a Savior that has done it all. There is a popular Christian song which we will sing shortly, and it has the words, we walk by faith and not by sight. We are to walk forwards. Be active in giving yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because kingdom work is never a waste of time. We are to put our hand to the plow and not look back at our sinfulness, but look forward to the glorious resurrected body. Because of his resurrection that has been, because of your future resurrection, we know that serving him is not in vain. We are on the winning team. It may not feel like it right now in this body, but we are promised eternity. All our efforts in service to Christ are to bring him the glory. And what about this new glorious body? Will it be glorious for a while and then will it fade? As we conclude this evening, the promise of this glorious body is for eternity. I began this evening talking about camping trips and the truth that all camping trips do come to an end. Home and reality does beckon. But this is not the way of heaven. Heaven is everlasting. We will not be in heaven for a period for God to say, just head back down to sinful old earth in that old body of yours. No, the tent is not just packed up. The tent is rebuilt. The seed is not just planted, but it's transformed into a plant, into a root system, into a mansion. The Apostles' Creed finishes off with this beautiful hope of everlasting life. And then the Catechism asks again, how does this comfort you? Well, my friends, take comfort and hold on to this hope with zeal. We are set for an eternity such as no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has ever conceived. A place where we can praise God eternally, which is the very thing we were created to do. Revelations 21, 3 to 5 says, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order of the things has passed away. And he who seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. This glorious promise, this promise of a Saviour who died for the purpose to transform us for all eternity. These words are trustworthy and true. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus and for his saving grace. Jesus, we thank you for your work on the cross, that you went the full distance and we have the knowledge and the comfort of life everlasting with you in our glorified bodies. Spirit, we thank you for sustaining us, for going with us, for living in us, and for bringing the words by which we pray. May we hold on to this hope and comfort beyond the grave, that this glorious eternity is not based on our own doing, but it's on the work of a Saviour. And I quote now the songwriters, which says, living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. O glorious day, O glorious day. May this glorious day come very soon. Amen.